Turn back to Luke 16. We're not going to stay there long, but just a couple of things. I had a few people comment, came to me after church, and had mentioned that they'd never, you know, thought about that. That had been at least one other person's doggy bone I talked about. You know, it's just one of those things, man. You just put it down when you don't understand something. And I really believe this. I believe that all the accounts were settled. I believe that. I believe everybody was happy when that was over. I believe that the people that were, they were the those that were indebted to that man, that master, the owner of the field, and when they went to pay the steward, he was able to reduce the amount. And what I really believe happened is this: is that he cut himself out. He did not take what he would have gotten. And, that's the thing. If you read the end of that in Luke 16, he says you can't serve God and mammon. You're going to love the one and you're going to hate the other. They both cannot exist at the same time. I believe those accounts were settled. But I want to look at verse number 8 again, Luke chapter 16 and verse 8, it says, "The Lord commended the unjust steward." Now he was called unjust. But why was he unjust? There's different thoughts on that. Why would he be titled the unjust steward by Jesus? What was he doing unjustly? Was he trying to take more than he was supposed to take? Was he taking more than it would cost him to live and to get by? And he was. I believe he must have been, if he was able to allow one person to write off 50%. You know, I look at some of these stores and they have sales. And, they're going to, have this big sale, and Mike Lindell with my pillow and everything. I mean, he's able to offer 50% off. And, you know, when you really think about that, that means he must have been charging a lot more in order for them to offer those sales like that. I think there's something to that. Again, not the subject tonight, but it says, "The Lord commended him, the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. The children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." I think we explained that. "And I say unto you, go and make yourself friends of mammon, of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations." I wanted to talk about that little phrase, "when you fail." When you fail. When you fall. Amen. When, you know, failing and falling is to me kind of the same thing. I did mention this morning that he didn't say if, but he did say when there. Now you could say, well, he's really talking about a specific time when it happens, whatever. But I know the truth of the matter and the reality is this, is that everybody's going to fail. Everybody's going to fall. My favorite commercial is the, "Help, I've fallen." And you finished it. I didn't even have to finish it. You know that. "I've fallen and I can't get up." Everybody falls sometime. Everybody fails sometime. I remember hearing a story about he was an evangelist and he had a big miracle crusade that he was performing, and I call it a performance. They were having a evangelistic tent meeting, what have you, and people started coming in and they were filling up and things, and all of a sudden in the middle of that, while the music was playing and the people were coming up, the evangelist said, he says, "I feel it in my bones." He says, "I feel it." He says, "Two people are going to be healed tonight. Two people are going to get it. Healing." And he said, "I wonder who they are." And all of a sudden, one guy runs up and he's got crutches, man. He's coming up there as fast as he can. And the evangelist says, "All right." He says, "You want healing?" He says, "Yes, sir." He says, "I want you to stand behind that curtain over there." And So he took the crutches and he went over behind the curtain, and then another guy come running up, and he says, "I don't see anything wrong with you." He says, you want healing tonight?" He says, "Yeah, I want to be one of the two people that's healed." And the guy could barely understand him because he had a speech impediment. He said, "But I want you to go behind that curtain as well." And the evangelist got up there and everything got started, and he said, "We're going to have a healing." He says, "And he says, sir, he says, could you pass those crutches under the curtain? Hand me those crutches." And all of a sudden, the crutches come out from underneath the curtain, and the evangelist picked up them crutches and he broke them over his knee and he threw them aside and he said, "Man, there's one healing tonight." And he said, I want you, he says, the next guy, he says, "I want you to pass the microphone back there, because for the first time," he says, you're going to hear somebody with a speech impediment speak clearly." And somebody handed the microphone behind there. And he says, "You got anything to say?" The evangelist says, and he said, "Yeah." He said, "Frank fell." Come on, man. I know that's bad. Everybody falls. If you're not falling, you're not living. If you're not falling down once in a while, you're not walking, you're not running. I like to watch YouTube. You guys know that. I have to kind of limit myself because I think there's some amazing things on there. But they have a whole series of what they call fails. Have you ever watched the fails? How many spent more than an hour watching fails, watching other people fail? How many laughed at those people? "Hey, honey, come here, look at these dumb people. Can you believe that? Look at this." And just pretty soon, man, you're just having a really good time at somebody falling or failing. You know, and by the way, some of those people are just absolutely nuts. There's no doubt about it. I don't know why, but it just grabbed. That's right. It does that. In Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. It says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief." A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. I remember one year ago, we took the youth group skiing up to the White Mountains. And, you know, Arizona kids, not everybody knows how to ski. Our family learned, because we worked all summer long. Summer camp, we never could take off and go anywhere for summer. So we figured if we're going to do something as a family, we're going to learn, it'd have to be a winter thing. Because, that was, summers were out. But I remember taking the kids up there, man, and I will tell you what, those kids fell, and they fell hard, and they fell often. And, you get them on that lift and get them to the top, and they just fall all the way down. And you say, how can anybody enjoy that? Well, the enjoyment doesn't come from the falling. The enjoyment comes from when you figure out how not to fall so often, or at least to guard your fall so that you don't hurt yourself too badly. It is a lot of fun. Skiing is a lot of fun. It's better than sledding. I like skiing because you get to get on the ski lift and it takes you back up there, and there's really not a lot of effort to it once you learn how to do it. However, it takes a lot of falls to be able to get to that place of enjoyment. It takes failure. A lot of people don't make it. They don't. If you don't make it past your first day, you'll quit. You'll never try it again. I tried snowboarding once. I did. I thought, well, that looks a lot of fun. And I'd been skiing and gotten pretty good at it. And, I could go a whole day and without falling and everything. But I just was intrigued by those snowboarders. They look so cool. They fly by and everything. And then I thought I would try it. I didn't make it probably 2 hours in trying. And I wrecked so bad that, I think I was probably around 40, something like that. And I just knocked the wind out of my sails. And I couldn't breathe. And I thought, man, I am too old for this. Give me a pair of skis. Somebody just chop this thing up for kindling because that is all that it is good for. And you know, the fact is, I failed. I quit. I look back at it now and I think, well, maybe. And Elisa says, nope. Nope. I ain't waiting for you. I waited for you all day that day and I am not going to do it. And she comes skiing past me. Just ski past me and I'll be laying on the ground, digging my face out of the snow. Thomas Edison, they said, failed thousands of times. They said he failed thousands of times. I forget, the story goes a lot of different numbers, but some kid asked Thomas Edison, how does it feel to fail 1,000 times? And Edison said something, and there's great inspiration in this, and not just in a church, just for humanity and mankind. He said, young man, I have not failed 1,000 times. He said, I have simply found out 1,000 different ways that it won't work. And at 101, at the 1,001, he actually succeeded. It took him 1,001 tries. But I'm so glad that he kept trying. I'm so glad that he got up. I'm so glad that he didn't listen to all of, you know, the naysayers and the people that say absolutely cannot work. The fact is, people talk about this. We've heard this, that a failure to plan is a plan to fail. You heard that before? A failure to plan is a plan to fail. But I added this is mine, but a plan never to fail isn't a real plan. A plan never to fail. You say, it won't happen to me. I won't fail. I won't fall. Don't worry, Mom, I won't wreck your car. We don't need to worry about that. Mom, I have cat-like reflexes and instincts. It won't happen. I'll never wreck. I don't need insurance. I don't need to worry about it because I just... You say, that's really foolish. Why would that be foolish? Because we know that... a plan never to fail is not a real plan. What Jesus was saying in Luke 16 was really, you know, when you fail, when you fall, I like this, not new to me, great, great principle, fall forward. Fail forward. Don't use it like it's the end all, be all of your life. It's not the end. I mean, it's not over when you fail. When we fail at, you know, our Christian walk, when we fail our wives, our husbands, when we fail our children, and by the way, we do all of the above. It's not over. Aren't you glad it's not over? You know, we're thinking about that. As we come to the end of this year, we're thinking about things that are ending. And 2021 will be over, but time's not over. There's going to be a time when time is no more, but, we'll wait for that when it happens. Until it happens, we're living in time. And we know there's going to be a tomorrow unless the Lord says there isn't going to be a tomorrow. Acts chapter 20, turn there with me. In Acts chapter 20, simple little message I heard years ago. Again, not original to me. And by the way, there's not a lot that is. I listen to a lot of preachers, and I've, over the years, many evangelists and different ones. And I remember an old hillbilly, an old Kentucky hillbilly evangelist that talked about this in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, I said 29, it's not there, it's in Acts chapter 20. In verse number 7 it says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. By the way, that's what today is. That tradition was started amongst Jesus and his apostles and his disciples. That is why we don't meet on Saturday. We can, there's nothing wrong with that, but Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week. 8 days after that, which would be the first day of the week again, Jesus met with them again. That was a custom that was started by our Lord in the beginning of the church. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Some of y'all think I preach long. Some of y'all, I see it, and I get it. And by the way, sometimes it is long, but everything's relative. Just remember that. He preached it, he continued his speech until midnight, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sank down with sleep, and he fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Paul was a long-winded preacher. The Bible's there. It says a young man by the name of Eutychus was sitting in the window in the third story. And when Paul got to midnight, he just couldn't take it any longer, and he fell asleep. Now, I used to get upset when I was young. I'd look out there, and people be falling asleep. I think, how dare they? How could they do that? And I've resolved, the Lord has just he has taken that away from me. And what I say is this, well, just God bless them, man. They must really trust me. If they're able to sit and sleep while I'm watching them, God bless them. It's all right. You know what? It happens. Sometimes, you know, people don't get enough sleep or whatever, and they come to church anyway. God bless them. Eutychus was there. He was in the window. You guys know that Jehovah's Witnesses, the Kingdom Halls have no windows? They don't have any windows. I don't know the reason, but I think I found the scriptural reason why they decided not to have windows. You never, when you go to the Kingdom Halls, look, there's no windows in them. And I've often wondered why, and I've actually asked them, they didn't know, but I may have a scriptural, a reference to share with them that they could probably say, yeah, this windows are not a good idea. I mean, look at Eutychus. He fell out of the third story window. That's not the point I want to make. The point I want to make is this, is that Eutychus fell in the direction that he was leaning. If Eutychus had been leaning out the window, which direction would he have fallen? He would have fallen out of the building and onto the ground. But Eutychus was leaning in. And what a simple message. Only a good old Kentucky preacher could come up with something like that. He says, you will fall in whatever direction you're leaning. Oh my gosh. That is some Will Rogers kind of logic, and I'm going to tell you what, it's a truth. If you're leaning out, friend, you're going to fall out. If you're always leaning, you're going to fall out. There's a lot of people, I've seen it over the years, they're leaning out. They're leaning out. They might show up for 1 hour a week. You know what? Praise God they do. I used to be really hard on folks like that, but you know what? I'm not the church police. God has told me that, look, that's my job. That's not your job. You know what? Your job is to get up there and preach. But as I've thought that through a little bit, I thought, you know, the reason why it bothers me is because if you're only in 1 hour or one time a week, guys, you're only 1 week, one day, you're only one service away from being completely out. Then you're out. If you miss that one, then you're completely out. And to me, that's leaning out. There are people looking for a reason to leave. Sometimes people will stay for 6 months or whatever. They're trying to figure out how to leave. Go ahead and just leave. My hope would be this, is that God would just, you know, he would reveal to you his purpose or his place where you ought to be. And I believe if you're in God's will, you will be serving somewhere. You know, people get mad here and they say, oh, you know what, God ain't in that place. But guess what? They don't go anywhere else. They don't fellowship anywhere else. They don't do anything anywhere else. And I guess he ain't there either. Or maybe you were just leaning out. Eutychus was leaning in. What blessing did he get by leaning in? That's falling forward. You know, we will fall. We will fail. What we should not expect. We should not expect our brothers and sisters in Christ to come over and kick us while we're down. To pull up the video and to laugh at it and to ridicule and criticize us. That is not what we should expect, is it? What we should expect is what Paul did. Now I will tell you this, if anybody here falls from this and hurts himself, do not expect that I will be able to do what Paul did here. Notice what Paul had done. And it says here, and it says that he fell down from the third loft and he was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, embracing him, said, trouble not yourself, for his life is in him. And when he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day. So he departed. Man, Paul had a lot to talk about. And I believe Eutychus had a lot to talk about. You know, what an embarrassing thing. The thing about it is Eutychus didn't even know it. Can you imagine? You're laying there dead and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you remember being in the loft and you know, here I am and this Paul is breathing all over me and he's over top of me and all of a sudden I'm alive. Imagine that. I don't know if Paul would have went and got him from the outside. He may have. I don't know if anybody would have noticed. But they noticed because he fell forward. And as I said, we need to know that, you know, it's not over when we fall. It's not over when we fail. God has the last word. Look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We'll remember this passage in verse 34 in Luke chapter 22. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou even knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said nothing. Then he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. He that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning have an end. And I want you to realize something, that Jesus was telling his disciples to be prepared. Now we can go into why he would have them do these things. You go through there and buy swords and things, and Jesus said, you know, it's always good that we stay prepared. The Boy Scouts motto is be prepared. That's a good motto. But what I want to say is this, is that it would be Peter who would fail and fall miserably. Jesus said, you know, the rooster's not going to crow. He's going to crow, you know, three times, thrice, before you deny me. We read down to the end of that chapter. Verse number 54. It says, then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and after Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him, and he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. About the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And in verse 62, Peter went out and wept miserably. Now, at the moment, Peter may have quit. You know, Jesus had told him that because Peter said, everybody else will deny you, but I won't. Everybody else will forsake you. Everybody else will flee, but I won't. Anybody ever heard the saying, be careful never to say never? Jesus knew. We know that we fail and that we fall. Turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And I'm almost done here. You know, it's a good thought to ponder. It's something great to meditate on, understanding that when we fall and when we fail, we need to fall forward. You know, I wrote down in my old Bible, still there in my old Excalibur Bible, it's at the house, it's so brittle and falling apart now I can't use it anymore. Little statements on there, it's hard to slip, stumble, or fall when you're already down on your knees. It's hard to slip, stumble, or fall when you're already down on your knees. Hey man, when you're down on your knees, man, you're leaning forward. Knowing who we are as human beings. It's not a plan to fail. It's a true reality knowing that we are sinners and we are living in a fallen world. We're living in plan B. God's plan was the perfect garden. And listen, nobody could ever beat that plan. No, none of us here are living in plan A. We're living in the fallen world. And we will fall. There are people that teach you how to fall. How to fall. If you're in jiu-jitsu or you're in some of these martial arts and things, they learn how to absorb the blow and so why? So that you can get up. So that you can fight again. So that you're not out. And you know what? So many people, and especially these last 2 years, guys, man, the world's gone crazy along with us Christians. There's things I've gotten mad about and I shouldn't have said and went ahead and let her rip and things like that. And by the way, it wasn't honoring or glorifying to the Lord. He wasn't pleased by it. And I could just say, well, you know what? So what? Or I say, you know what? I fell. But I'm falling into the arms of Jesus. I'm falling into the arms of one that can, forgive me. I don't know how the Lord could forgive Peter. You want to talk about no accidents or coincidence. Peter, the Lord made sure that when that happened, when that rooster crowed, that his eyes would lock onto the eyes of Jesus at that very moment. The Bible says that he went out and he wept bitterly. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus has just resurrected. We see the resurrection chapters in Mark. It is in Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. And let me get there. Verse number 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. No, that's not where I want to be. Back up. Even farther. Verse number 4, it says, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. We know they were coming to the tomb. And entering into the sepulcher, or the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed and a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affright. You see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified, he is risen, he's not here, behold the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples, and this is the one that should get you right here, verse number 7. Go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him, as he said unto you. Now, in all the other places in the Bible, when the disciples are mentioned, Peter's mentioned first. Judas is always mentioned last. And Peter's always mentioned first. But I think this is interesting as they go to the tomb, and the angel gives them a message, and they say, you know, he's not here. He's risen. The greatest message, amen, has been preached by an angel. Praise God. Why seek you the living amongst the dead? Amen. He is risen. And now he says, go tell his disciples and Peter. Now, was he a disciple? Of course he was. Peter's a disciple. He's one of the major disciples. Peter, James, and John, they're always listed first. But here he says, "Go tell the disciples, and tell Peter. Tell him what? Tell him it's not over. Let him know." See, now the last time he saw Peter was when the cock crew. You know, the Lord can take anything, you know, even a donkey or a rooster, to preach his message. Praise God, man. He can take a little child. He can take a circumstance that you never thought about. Amen. And he can get his point across to us when God's dealing with us. You know, Peter, listen, he had his failures. Remember when Peter started to walk on water and he sank? Well, Jesus said, why did you doubt, Peter? Keep your eye on the Lord. Amen. Trust and believe in his word. He failed. I'm glad he didn't quit. I'm glad that, you know, for those that would stay and those that would be faithful. That was the one thing that I didn't mention this morning about the stewardship. The Bible says it is required in stewards that they be found faithful. That is a requirement. And by the way, the one thing that the steward had no control over were the requirements that were set forth by the master or the owner of the business or property. He had to abide by those, and God wants us to abide by that. We're stewards, and we should be found faithful. They got the message to Peter. Praise God, Peter came back. Praise God, Peter didn't scrap it like so many of us might have done. Praise God, he was like the just man that fell 7 times and he rose up again. He didn't lay down in the mire. Thank God for the prodigal that got up out of the mud, that got up out of the pig pen. Amen. And he had an epiphany. He said, oh my gosh, here I am eating a corn husk and laying here in hog slop, and my father's servants have it better than I. Now, he could have laid there. Who knows how much longer he could have laid there. Might have died there. You know, but he got up. And he came back, and praise God, the father was so happy to see him. He said, get him a ring, put a robe on him, kill the fatted calf. Let's sing a song. My son who was dead is now alive. He was spiritually dead, and now he's alive. Failing forward, planning on what to do when it happens. I'm not saying plan your failures. I'm saying that, as I said before, a plan never to fail is not a plan. Our God is the only one who doesn't fail. Thank God he's never fallen. Thank God he gets back up when men try to bring him down. Our God is not a quitter. We live in a world today, and we've talked about this, that we hand kids trophies for participation. I was wondering, we went to that big judo thing with my grandkids a few weeks ago, a month ago, or whatever it was. Are they going to hand out second place winners? When you're in a fight, you don't want to be in second place, Dave. I don't want to come in second. That's when you're boxing, you don't want to come in second place. But it happens. You think you're going to get in a boxing match and not get hit? Think again. Think again. It'll happen. Let's all stand together tonight. I just felt like preaching. The Lord just told me to preach tonight. Sometimes I teach, but preach. We've had failures this year. You listen, you've disappointed yourself. You've disappointed the Lord countless times. I just pray that we learn something from it. That we take that failure or that moment when we have fallen, we take it as a stepping stone to move on to greater heights, greater things that God has for us. Satan, you know, he is still the accuser. You know, he's the tempter, and then he's the accuser. He tempts, hey, go ahead, nobody will see this, nobody will know. Nobody's going to hear that. And all of a sudden, he hears it and says, hey, God, look at did you hear what he said? What kind of failure are you? And you call yourself a Christian. Lord made sure he got eye contact with Peter. And you know what? Through his word tonight, he gets a hold of us. He says, you know what? Come on, let's go. We got business to take care of. We got work to do. Man, hey, somebody's got to trim the light. Somebody's got to be the salt. And somebody has to keep going here. Somebody has to be faithful and stand up. And I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight, but I know that, you know, the Lord wanted me to bring this word. And so I, you know what, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage myself. There's things in my life that I've kind of said I've failed at. The Lord said, it's not over. It's not over. We fail our children. Kids are watching us. You know, we get upset at them. We fail. But praise God, it's not over. The great God.